Mr. Jack Wilhausen at 615 Henrietta.
What?
West Henrietta. For history 413. It's Texas History 413 under Dr. Colson. By Gladiator Ladder.
2032, I believe. But ahead of that, we were born in China, Lavaca County, and we moved out north of Perseus, which is Arlington now, in 1907, I believe. And we lived out there on the ranch until 1916, when we came to Kingsville to go to school. If you ask about Texas Rangers, we had, I don't remember all the news about it, just the things that you hear since. There was one camp of Texas Rangers down at Las Ojuelas, you know where that is, just out of Torcias, out of Alton, back down there. It's part of the Garcia Ranch down there, between there and Miranda City. There was one camp down there, and of course they operated all over Texas, if you please, and down here particularly, and there's quite a bit of history that I just can't tell you, that I don't know, that happened down here at Norias, you know, when those bandidos came across Mexico and were stealing and plundering and killing, and the Rangers, of course, were killing them too, because of course, the nearest I came to that is when we were just kids, we went over to Laredo, and there was a bunch of Yaqui Indians across the river over there that were going to come over to attack Laredo, and I just, youngster about 14 years old, and we went down to one's house down there, and they gave each one of us a Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you would in the military, and you were posted out the corner of a house or someplace else like that, you know, and if anything happened, of course, I was just about 12, 14 years old, but you can imagine how different it was then than it is now. Giving a boy that young a Winchester and say, hey, these people coming across, if anything happens, we got to get with them. Well, nothing happened. They stayed over on their side of the river, you know, and nothing happened, thank goodness. But then since 1916, we've lived here in Kingsville. Came here to go to high school. Got out of high school in 1919. And after that, I worked around here at different jobs in Kingsville until 28, when I started going to school out there at the college. It was established, of course, in 25. And myself started about 26, I guess, when she started out there. She was working in the hardware. And I started out there 28, going to night school, taking a bookkeeping course. And the depression got worse and worse. I was going for 1 year, but when the depression got worse and worse, well, I got to go with Mr. Manning, Dr. Manning, I should say now, I can't call him. And I laid out my plan then for a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I went summer and winter, 3 summers and 3 long terms. And met the requirements for a degree and then went to work over at Corpus for Borden's in the office doing bookwork, and that was during the Depression. Went to work at $120 a month. That was pretty good money. It sounds odd now, because I get $120 for just a few hours of work now. And I quit 3.5 years later at 90. Depression got worse and worse. And I came back here then and qualified for vocational ag teaching. I went to Laredo and went to work in AAA office. That's the government farm program, that's what it was called then. And then I got out of a job after a while and went up to A&M with the idea of doing some graduate requirements to do some graduate work in poultry. Then I went to work for the Farm Security Administration and ended up at the Corpus working for Burdens, doing field work for Burdens, gathering in or helping those producers all on this end of South Texas down in. Incidentally, we had a bunch of them around Cruz Calles and Hebronville, and we even went as far as Laredo, working with those there. And then I quit in 50 to come home and see after my father, who was here by himself. So that's kind of in general about the family, don't you see? You asked about that in the beginning, so that's in kind of in general about the family here. We've been here, of course, myself as retired home demonstration agent, and she and I are living here now, just waiting the time when nos habla nuestro Dios.
Could you give me your views on the depression around here in Kingsville?
Depression, of course, means business fading out and all of that, and people not having jobs. And there were a lot of people that didn't have jobs, and after the government started Farm Security Administration and various other programs, and there were people in big camps, if you please, from all walks of life, doctors, lawyers, professional people, teachers, and everybody else in all walks of life were in, there's one up here in East Texas in Green Lake that I heard a little bit about from one of the home supervisors that worked with us. So there were people up there living on a self-sufficiency program, if you please, where they'd go out and plant gardens, and they were given places to live, and certain areas where they planted, shall I say, community plots for the entire camp out there, you see. But there wasn't, if I remember right, there wasn't the crime that we've had in recent years that we are familiar with today. Now, I don't know that it's just a matter of people who are glad to settle down and get something to eat for themselves and their families and little clothes to wear. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but you know, it's been over 30 some odd years ago since all that happened, you see.
You said they lived on camps? On camps?
Yeah, they had certain areas designated like at Green Lake farm or camp or whatever they called it over there in East Texas, and they were in various other places, and they furnished shelter for them. And those people lived over there, and they furnished them the necessary food, and they worked out there helping to raise some of their food. And of course, there's certain parts of it that, it's kind of like Tex-Mex started down here for those boys down there. When we came here, the Tex-Mex school down there was for boys, and Presmix was over at Tech. Now they're both together. But they would go out, those boys go out there and they milk cows and they work in the shop and they have a print shop and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of a business over there, kind of making their own living, or self-sufficiency, we called it. And that's where those people lived in those camps, if I remember right.
Mr. Wilhelmsen, do you remember anything about World War I and World War II and what happened around here?
Well, during World War I, that's quite a few years back, and pretty hard to remember. Some of the things, of course, we do remember. We were on stricter food rationing than we were in World War II. In other words, we got food stamps and such to get our food in both of them, but we were issued a little brown paper sack full of brown flour, for one thing, in World War I. We'd go down here to the store and they'd have so many pounds put aside in a sack and you'd get that much. And meat, of course, was rationed in both wars. All food was, and gasoline and such was rationed. Of course, it depended on who you were and what kind of work you were doing as to how much food or how big a family you had, how much of it you produced yourself. All of those things entered in to determine how many stamps you got. Of course, we know that like today and in all times before, and probably in all times in the future, a whole lot of it depends on who you are and who you know.
Right.
Now, just business of, some people got all the stamps they needed, and some of them that needed stamps didn't get them. But anyway, I don't think anybody starved because it was, the supply was limited or insufficient. Everybody got, managed to live, and that was the thing that we were supposed to be fighting for in World War I, was supposed to be the war to end wars. But it seems like it just started wars, because we've had wars ever since. In all probability, we always will. I don't understand very much about politics. We are supposed to have two parties, major parties. But for my part, my daddy used to say the only difference between a Democrat and a Republican was that one was in office and the other one was trying to get in. One was in office and the other was trying to get in. And later on, I heard a friend of ours say it this way, the difference, and he was a Republican down here in a Democratic country, the difference between a Democrat and a Republican is about 0.1%. Very little different. So I have often wondered which way we should lean. I guess if our income depends on belonging to one or the other, it would be fairly healthy to belong to one or the other. But for me, I like to vote for the man. It is depressing to me to see the newspapers today where there is so much strife between the presidency and the Congress, because there's a difference in party lines. Why shouldn't those guys be up there working for the good of you and me and all the rest of the people?
Right.
You know, I don't belong to any church or anything like that, but I think I'm fairly religious. And I never will forget Dad had a man working for him out there named Black Doris. He's buried over at Miranda City. He came over here from San Luis Potosí. Worked as a goat herder. He was very intelligent. Somebody, like he said, me enseñaron las letras y yo solo en campo de cabras me enseñé leer. That's admirable. Now he was looking for something. But that man had no opportunity like you and I have had. We are muffing our opportunities, I think, sometimes by getting with a bunch of rabble rousers. Some of these people follow the leader over here and he's just a rabble rouser.
Yeah.
You remember there was one on the campus out here said to kill all the gringos. Several years back, there was one out there on the campus that apparently that's what his idea was. But to go back to old Blas, I'll never forget a man who had never had an opportunity to get an education. He said this to me, and I've never forgot it. Tenemos que responder al mismo Dios. I like that. So when you think about that, folks, some of these things that these political parties have done over the years, where they do it for personal gain, apparently for personal gain, instead of for the good of the people, and that's who is supposed to send them up. I think in your history courses and all, you go to the library and do some reading, and you'll find some of these people that will write about some of these people who were the heads of the government and all, and find out that it was not much different in the beginning than it is now. Party strife instead of for the good of the people, and that's what we're supposed to be set up for. I don't know schools and teachers, I don't know. I guess, of course, there's so much difference in teaching methods and teaching classes and such as that now and then, there was probably quite a bit of difference. This day and time, you've got an unlimited number of education courses, and some of those people go out there and get filled up on those education courses, and then when they go out to teach, well, they've got a bunch of education courses. And I don't know, the thing is changing a whole lot. Of course, we got our vocational courses and we got industrial arts and vocational ag, of course, is kind of taking a back seat now, and that's going more or less vocational, industrial arts too, you know. But there's still a lot of animal husbandry and agriculture and such as that left in it, but they have changed that a whole lot. You probably know more about that than I do. But I don't know. I mean, the other part of it is we've got big classes now, and kids going to school this day and time have some advantages, of course, that we didn't have back when. And the advantage we had when we were going to school, we were in smaller classes and had individual contacts there that some of these big classes don't have. You know, they told us up at the university and those bigger schools, the prof would come in and hang his coat up and lecture for an hour and then you wouldn't see him anymore until the next class period. Well, that's when we were going to school out here. We could have that personal contact and we learned plenty from those teachers, because this day and time classes so big they probably can't do that. But I don't know enough about the way they do it now. Farming and various crops and farming methods, of course, are entirely different. When I started to work for Farm Security Administration over in Atascosa County, most of it was horse-drawn implements. This day and time it's gone mechanical. There's hardly anybody that would start farming without a tractor and such. Now, it used to be those little contraption that they cultivated with. They called it a good devil. It had this on it or whatnot, and they'd cultivate their peanuts and such as that with those things. You don't see any of those anymore. So methods have changed a whole lot all along. We're supposed to be in an age of progress, and I guess we are, because everybody lives better. There's not too many of us out asking alms. Banking and stores, well, of course we know there's lots of difference in the stores. We see pictures of old country stores, you know, where they sold everything from yard goods to coffee grinders and corn mills and all that kind of stuff. And this day and time is more or less specialized, and of course banking is considerably different than it was, especially with those people that went to work in banks. That day and time, they had worked 20, 30 years before he got any kind of a job in a bank, and he nearly starved to death while he was doing it. And this day and time, they go and get a master's degree in banking or some phase of it and go to work and take charge of a trust department or whatnot. So it's changed up considerably. We're making progress, if you want to call it that, if you like that way of living. For sure, when we get with a lot of this artificial stuff that we live with and that we do, some of these days, if we do have another good old juicy depression like we had, there's going to be a lot of people that won't know how to go out here and spade up the ground, put a few seeds in it, and grow a little bit of food. And we need to have some of those probably going through agriculture courses and stuff like that. There'll be a nucleus there if we have that. I hope we don't. But back in that time, television is a new thing. Radio happened in about the 20s, I remember. They had a radio set down at the hardware when I worked down there. And Bert Browning, who had a good voice, they put a chair up on top of the table and he put the headphones on. He listened to the World Series and told us out there in front what was going on. This day and time we laugh. I knew he was going to laugh. Because this day and time we set it to television and see it all. Change. Increase. Nobody thought of going to the moon. A lot of other things like this. Of course, our air travel and all of that is taking over, and buses taking over from old railroads. Railroads used to be the standard mode of travel. Telephones and all of that. Kind of covered that, raised bandit law enforcement. Well, that law enforcement is something that's been interesting all along, because we're getting further and further away from law enforcement. It was sent us something in the paper the other day about the way the judiciary was set up, that the people who obeyed the law were the ones who were in danger and the criminals were being protected. Did you read that?
No, sir, I didn't, but I think it's true.
Well, you just look. It used to be that a man would hang if he for murder, see?
Yeah.
And today, he doesn't hang. He doesn't hang. They're trying to outlaw guns. Personally, I'd like to see every law-abiding citizen be permitted or even required to carry a gun. Then these pachucos and all these guys that try to come along and hold them up on, you know, a lot of them get held up at street crossings and stuff like that. A lot of them try to come in the house. If they know that we have had our arms taken away from us, they're not going to bother about where they'll come on in. We don't have a right to protect our own homes. And that's, I was interested in that article in the paper the other day when they made that kind of a comment. We already talked about bandits and stuff like that, and you can get some information on that from some of the others that know more about those bandit raids than I knew. Difference in merchandise offered. We know there is considerable difference in merchandise offered and the things that we used to wear. When I worked in the store, they had clothes that would fit a man. And but this damn time, it doesn't make any difference whether clothes fit or not. It don't make any difference whether you're right. It don't make any difference whether a man's got on striped shirt or red shirt or green shirt. I saw a man with a red suit on the other day. They're getting them. Well, you look at them now and you can't tell until after they go by or until you talk to them whether it's a man or a woman a lot of times. That's right. Yeah. Feelings, we got too much of that we shouldn't have. We shouldn't have that racial feeling. Because like Ross said, todos tenemos que responder al mismo Dios. Doctors and medical practices, well, you know that they used to come to the house and bring their little satchels and they treat you at the house, and now the new ones seem like they need to have you go to the laboratory or the workshop, hospital, see, before they'll ever do anything.
Right.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. They've got, that's the way they're trained. That's the way they're trained, see. So, in some things, there's an advantage to going there. But in other things, there's a disadvantage. Now, there are a lot of people who don't have the money and can't afford to go to the hospital. They can't afford to have a doctor. And there used to be a little doctor come out there, and if he was part of the community and friends and family and all of that, if he got any money, all right, if he didn't, all right. Now things changed so radically. I talked to Doc Jones down here one time, and he said he sent his father a $50 check that he'd gotten for an OB case. Some of the family had a baby and he charged him $50 for that. His father wrote him a letter and told him, thank you, I appreciate that, but haven't times changed? When you were born, I took my doctor a cord of wood. Today, I understand it costs about $700. I don't know whether that's right or not. Somebody told me that the other day, I don't know. Oh, folklore, legends, superstitions, you want to talk to Frank Goodwin about those. He wrote a book on that. Folk speech, grammar changes, and all of that. Well, we've seen a lot of that, of course, with the development of the school system and getting to where all of us talk pretty good grade English. I just rambled. I don't know whether what I said serves your purpose or not. If you had some direct questions, perhaps maybe I could answer them. But the outline you have here, you could probably have an interview that lasted several weeks.
You've helped me a lot. Thank you very much.
Well, if there's anything else now that you'd suggest to me that you'd like to me to help you with, well, you know, I'd be happy to. Of course, you know, I can see your position. This is new to you just like it is to me. I don't know what an interview like this ordinarily covers, and like I suggested to you a while ago, I have just rambled in very uncoordinated sort of a way from one thing to the other. No doubt, but what it'll be useful, because you can sit down and talk about a few things that it would take you a long time to write. And a lot of us don't write, and this is your object is to record it for history. If you can get a person to go on and answer the questions, if you have the questions you want him to answer, and get him to talk about what you want to talk about, you requested that I say something about my background and all that in the beginning, or I wouldn't have done it, because I hear so many people, they talk about I, and not what you want to talk about. Now, if you can limit his talking about I and get what you want, I think this is a good thing.